Rabbi Beryl Wein is a historian, a teacher of Torah, a lawyer, a columnist, and a popular Jerusalem lecturer. In the program Wein Online, he talks about the meaning of the Torah portion of the week. We're back in the studio with Rabbi Beryl Wein. What parsha are we talking about this week?
We've got a double parsha this week, Matot and Masay together, which conclude the book of Bamidbar. And the book of Bamidbar really ends one section of the Torah, because the next section of the Torah is Moses' discourse, Dvorim, the last months of his life. So it's like a long run-on
oration,
lecture, sermon, whatever word we want to use, of Moshe to the Jewish people. But here's the end of the narrative of the story of the Jewish people in the desert. And therefore, the Torah counts the 38 stations on the road that the Jewish people visited during their sojourn in the desert. Rashi points out the famous example of the Midrash, famous parable, is that like a father and a son retrace their steps of a journey that they took one long, long ago. And the father says, oh, when we were here, you know, you had a headache, and when you were here, you did this happened and that happened. It's a trip down memory lane. Well, this is also the same type of trip. These are the places that we were. Every place had significance. Every place had problems. Every place was a challenge for us. It's important for people to remember where they've been. And certainly it's important for the Jewish people as a whole to have a sense of history, to have a sense of where they've been, of what problems we have faced. There are many times in life that we're blindsided by things that happen to us without realizing that it's happened before, and that there were solutions that were found to it, and that we should therefore concentrate on how did we get out of it before? What were the solutions? You see that in medicine, that, you know, treatments that have been proven over periods of time, right? So then that becomes the standard accepted treatment. Same thing is true in Jewish history. There are standard accepted treatments. And where we have been, the treatment, as Moshe points out, the treatment is to adhere to Jewish lifestyle, to study and revere the Torah, and to see ourselves as a people that have a special mission and are challenged in order to accomplish that mission. And those are all the stations in the desert. Now, in some of the places in the desert, there wasn't water. In some of the places, there wasn't food. In some of the places, the Jewish people sloughed off and they created the golden calf, or they rebelled against Moshe. So all of that has to be remembered, right? You should remember, what is the cost of rebelling against Moshe? What is the cost of making a golden calf? What is the cost of being seduced by the women of Midian? There are no free lunch in the world. And just as there's no free lunch, economically speaking, in the world of economics, and there's no free lunch in government, there is no free lunch either in faith, in religion, in Jewish history. Everything is paid for, whether we know it or not, whether we realize it or not. A lot of the troubles that we have now are simply the payment for the problems that we cause ourselves. You can't expect people who don't have any Jewish education and don't have any Jewish feeling and are told by their leaders that it's okay, you just do whatever you want, whatever makes you feel good, God is happy with you. You can't expect that such people, for instance, should be immune to intermarriage. It's ridiculous to think that way. Or should think that the state of Israel is special, or that they should owe any loyalty to it. Because of the fact that every cause has a consequence. It leads to something. And that's part of the idea here of Masay, right? That We reviewed all the places that we came from. We reviewed all the journeys that we took. And we see what happened to us in place A, B, C, D, E, all along the road. So now that we're going to finally get out of the desert, so to speak, but the lessons of the desert should not be forgotten. And the lessons of the desert should be incorporated within us so that when we come to the land of Israel and we have an independent country and we do try to build ourselves, we shouldn't make fatal errors. We shouldn't go off on detours that lead to nowhere. I often have the feeling that the Jewish world generally is like the pilot that gets on the intercom and he says, I have good news and I have bad news. And the good news is that we're 10 minutes ahead of schedule, and the bad news is I haven't got a clue where we're at. we're ahead of schedule, we're doing great things, we're organized, but where are we? And unless we can figure out where we're at, and the only way you can figure out where you're at is where you've been. That sense of the past, which is so essential in Jewish life. Without being too commercial, I've written 4 history books. I've gotten a lot of email regarding and regular letters and telephone calls and comments. But the common denominator of really everybody that wrote, communicated with me, whether they did so in praise or in criticism, was that somehow a different world opened up to them. We never knew that that was the situation, right? We never knew that we went through this before. We never knew that that our ancestors experienced many of the same problems that we are experiencing. And we never knew that somehow they had solutions to it and that they worked at it. I think one of the great crimes in Jewish life is that most Jews have been robbed of their heritage. Their inheritance was taken away from them. Now we know that in the public arena, you know, and courts are full of heirs that are suing to get their inheritance. In the Jewish world, that also should be the case. People should demand their heritage. They should demand their inheritance. Why were they cheated out of it? Nobody ever told them. Not their parents, not their grandparents, not their teachers, not their clergy. Nobody ever told them. Well, you have to be told, and you have to know where that is. There always appears in the newspaper on a regular basis, 3 or 4 times a year, a list of bank accounts and other stock accounts that somehow no one has claimed, and that if you don't claim it by a certain period of time, it's going to cheat to the state.
And we invariably
look through it. And we always look through it, even though we know that we have no, but maybe I had an uncle, you know, right? Well, that's the Jewish world, though, right? We may all of us had an uncle. There's an account there somewhere for us, and we have to find it. And that's the idea of Maaseh, of the trips of the Jewish people, of the locations that we went through in the desert.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Beryl Wein.
You've been listening to Rabbi Beryl Wein talking about the Torah portion of the week. Join us again next week.